Lord Jesus, speak to us now from what's in thy heart for us in this time. We count upon thee for it. In thy name, Lord Jesus, amen. Turn to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. The Song of Solomon is primarily a conversation involving three different people: a bridegroom, a bride, and the daughters of Jerusalem, who are friends of the bride. We know in its setting that the bride is Israel, the bridegroom is Christ, and so we are going to read a little bit of the conversation, and then we are going to apply it to you, the bride of Christ, to your bridegroom, your heavenly bridegroom, and to those that we may say are the ones that know you, your friends and acquaintances, as the daughters of Jerusalem. Chapter 5, verse 1, verse 8. Verse 9. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 9. The daughters of Jerusalem speak. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou so charge us? Interject a comment here. When people have a relationship of a bride and a bridegroom, it is natural, it is desirable that they refer to each other in a way that expresses their relationship and their feelings to one another. And here we find that the bride refers to her bridegroom as beloved. That's a special expression of her heart to him as she speaks to him, as she speaks of him, beloved. Likewise, the bridegroom, when he speaks to her or of her, he says, my love, my dove. She also calls him her friend. So here, she says, when challenged, they recognize, her friends, that they were referring to her beloved. And what is he more than someone else's? One of love. She responds, my beloved is white and ready, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as raven. His eyes are the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly scent. His cheeks are as bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His language, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. You're the bride. Now you're going to give your version of what the earthly bride said to her friends. What is your bridegroom more than another beloved? And you respond, my beloved is altogether lovely. He is the chiefest among 10,000. He is perfect in his love to all, to me. He is a man of joy. He is a man of peace. He is a man of patience. He is meek. He's gentle. He's patient. He's long-suffering. This is my beloved. The friends respond, chapter 6, verse 1. Whither is thy beloved gone, O fairest thou among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with me? You have described your beloved. And the response of those to whom you have described him is, I would like to know more about him. I want to know him too. Where is he? You've described him to me in a way that attracts me, and I would like to know more about him. Verse 2. She says, my beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the garden, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. We'll not go with all the detail with the time we have. You know where your beloved is. You can respond and do. My beloved enjoys my company, and he comes to be with me, and he encourages me to come apart with himself in the garden, that we may have time together to enjoy one another's company, to enjoy one another's affection and love that we have for one another. And it's well because I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. My beloved finds his pleasure in me. He feeds in his heart, in his looking upon me, and the thoughts and the feelings that come into his heart. A little paraphrase. Last night, some of my beloved, we came together and we spoke, we sang to him about him. And it thrilled his heart. Last night, he found joy and satisfaction with us in our expressing to him our heart's affection, our heart's thoughts concerning himself. Skip down to, skip down to verse 9. Back up. I am my beloved's, verse 3, and my beloved is mine. And what does your bridegroom respond when you speak such of himself? He immediately joins the conversation and says of you, verse 4, thou art beautiful. Thou art beautiful. As he looks upon you this afternoon, in his heart, he's saying to you, you are beautiful in my eyes. Oh, my love. That special expression of nearness and uniqueness that you have in your relationship with him. Oh, my love. Comely. Verse 5, second phrase, thine eyes have overcome me. When you look upon me in response, it fills my mind, my thoughts, my heart with overcoming joy. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep, as a piece of pomegranate, verse 7. Oh, verse 9, my dove, my undefiled. My undefiled, I joy looking upon you in the garments of salvation, in the robe of righteousness, and you are pure and perfect in my eyes. And I rejoice that you are my love, my dove. Skip down. Verse 13, return, return, O Shulamite, return, return. This is the bridegroom. This is the friends of the bride, the daughters of Jerusalem speaking to her. Where will we see? Where will we see? And she respond, and they speak to her as they see her. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes. She's not describing the bridegroom anymore. They're describing what they see in her, which is a reflection of the one she's been with and occupied with in her heart. And she has started to show the characteristics of the very one that is filling her heart and that she's responding to in love. And so they look upon her and they say, how beautiful are thy feet? Or we could say, how beautiful is the path and the walk that you have as you walk through this world. You're special. You're a prince's daughter. And your life shows it. In separation to your bridegroom. It's no longer just what you say, but it's we can see it in your life. And we rejoice to look upon him as you see him and as we see you. And so she is described. The same that you would desire that if the world, your friends, the daughters of Jerusalem, if you will, look upon your life and they see in you something of Christ and they want it. It's an attraction of something they don't understand but desire, a desire that God puts there when he's doing a work in their soul. Verse 5, thy head is upon thee as like Carmel, the hair like the hair of purple. The king is beheld in the gardens. They speak of her. But the bridegroom can go farther. They can describe her, but he steps in. Verse 6, oh, how fair and how pleasant art thou. This is the bridegroom speaking to you this afternoon and saying to you, how fair and how pleasant art thou, O love for delight. I find my delight and my pleasure in you. This thy stature is like a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. And I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. I will come near unto you and embrace you, your heart with my love. My love. The roof of thy mouth is like the best wine. To get the true thought here, I have to stop and read the new translation. The roof of thy mouth is like best wine. And she interrupts him. You interrupt him. When he is expressing himself to you in this way, and you say, you finish the sentence for him. He says to you, the roof of thy mouth is like the best wine. And you respond, that goeth down smoothly for my beloved. Ah, she's enjoying now a relationship with himself, that when he's speaking to her, of his affection and his love for her, and she recognizes it. Her heart swells up in response and said, yes, beloved, it just goes right down, and it's for you. It's for you that it is so. I, verse 10, am my beloved, and his desire is toward me. This is the high point. I don't know that you can go beyond it. Your heart has been filled up with himself. And the occupation with himself and his expressions of his love to you and how he sees you. And you in your heart say, I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me. And it has reached a point of true conversation, true interaction of soul. And you say, come, my beloved. Come, my beloved. You know what it is to have had him say to you, Come near unto me, I pray you. Come near unto me, I pray you. But here, the growth in the soul of an appreciation of the relationship and the mutual satisfaction is such that you say to him, come, my beloved. Your initiative, your friendship with your friend, your lover, is so close and so of a sort that you go on to say, let us get up early in the vineyards. To him, let's do this. You know what it is for him to say to you, do this or do that or something else that is in his heart that he expresses to you that would be pleasing to him. But now the relationship has grown in such a way that you are able to say to him, let us go forth into the fields. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Oh, love, let us go and see something of the fruit that you have been producing in this souls, in this world. Let's look at it together. Let's enjoy it. I give you my love, she says in verse 12 in the end. The mandrakes give a smell. Our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which his heart's ravaged. And I mean it literally. The heart of your bridegroom is ravaged when you respond, I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. When that affection, that response is in your heart to himself, that you would say, O dear one, beloved, I have set aside and laid up for thee, O my beloved. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you know it's my desire that my dear brethren would enter into and enjoy or exceed the joy that thou hast put in my heart in this passage. Work for each one of us in our hearts, Lord Jesus, that we may give thee the joy and the satisfaction that is truly thine to receive. In thy precious name, Lord Jesus, amen.